Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Just a quick sermonic survey. I can see some faces that I haven't seen before, which is always good. Who hasn't heard me preach before? Well, a few fits. Fantastic. Where have you been? Come on, where have you been? Should have been in church. Kidding. Kidding. Well, we just arrived here. We drove up from Sydney, which was a nice, big, long trip. And we did break up the trip with a few stops along the way. We stopped in Coffs Harbour for a couple of nights, which was great. But no matter how many times people told me, when you go on a long trip like this, get ready for lots of stops, I wasn't prepared for, Jerry's picking on me. Are we there yet? I need to use the toilet. Can we just stop for a second? And that was just Emma. Let alone the kids. But what I did learn about this great journey of coming from Sydney all the way to Ipswich is that you see along the sides of the roads these signs which say stop, revive and survive. And I've learned that to survive any journey in life, you do have to do just that. You have to stop and revive and survive. Just for an illustration, I've got four chairs up the back. Can someone just bring those four chairs up here for me, whoever's the strongest man in the house? Maybe that'll get you a girlfriend or a wife and allow you to have four babies too. Okay, oh, there it is. Hello. He's got all four by himself. There it is. I wanted to use... Thank you so much. Look at those bulging biceps. My goodness. He's a physio. Perfect. Great hands, strong and everything. He's taken, yes? Yes? Is he married? You're married, yes? Not yet. Hello. Hello, Tiger. Come on, ladies. You don't just come to church for Jesus. There's other benefits to Jesus. And this morning I want to talk about those. You know, when it comes, I want to speak to you from this subject. It's talking about the journey with Jesus and to get to destination Jesus, which is found in Matthew 1. We're going to read that, the destination of all that Jesus is and all that Christmas and Christ means. I believe there's four stops that we need to make along the way. Now, the first stop that we're going to read, as we read in Matthew 8, is that Jesus is the destination. And actually, let's read it right now. It says this. Let's put it back up. It says that the birth of Jesus the Messiah, in verse 18, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're about to read here is the greatest story, the greatest event in human history. I mean, so great, no matter where you're having Christmas here in Australia, or you're in Jamaica, where my family's from, or in Miami, where we're going to, the whole world celebrates the fact that it's 2017, which means 2017 years after the birth of our Savior. It actually, the world marks time before Christ, and AD, which is not after his death, it's Anno Domini. Is that how you say it, Jeff? Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. That's how significant this was. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, we recognize the fact that Jesus was born. And this is the greatness and the significance of Christmas time. It says, before the marriage took place, she was pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. I mean, he has right standing with God and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break off the engagement quietly because it's like, bro, what? You're pregnant with God? I mean, that's a big story to swallow for anybody. Next verse. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph. That's how angels sound, I reckon. Joseph, son of David, the angel said. Do not be afraid to take Mary, let's stop it right now before it gets worse. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Jesus, which means Yeshua, which means the God who saves, for he will save his people from her sin. And so any great trip, like we took a trip all the way from Sydney to Ipswich, it requires some rest stops along the way, but I want to talk about, because who knows that in life it's not the destination that's the goal, but rather who we become on the journey. It's not becoming just the destination, but who we become in the pursuit of that destination and that goal. And so the first seat and the first rest stop that I believe that God wants us to take is actually over here. And it's the seat of having Jesus who will save his people from their sins. Let's keep reading. It says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophets. Look, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What we see in this scripture is that not only does God want to save us from our sins and so we can take a seat at this table of salvation, but there's more to the story. Why don't you look at the person next to you and say, there is more to the story. There's more to the story. There's so much more. You know, like Emma said in John 10:10, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but God says that Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. Now this seat right here of salvation represents eternal life. This is where we get our name written in the book of life and we spend eternity with God. And you know, most of us have actually taken a seat at this table. We're on the journey of life. We've stopped here. But there's more to the story. There's more to the journey. Not only is he Jesus who saves us from our sin and all the wrong that we've done. I want you to think about that. How would you live knowing that God has saved you from every mistake, from every bad word that you've said, from every bad thought that you've done, from every bad website that you've looked at that you shouldn't have been looking at, from every bad word you've said to your children, whatever that big mistake is you wish no one would find out, that God came from heaven to earth to save you from the penalty of that sin. Remember the woman at the well. Now Jesus would cross every divide. He crossed cultural divides as a Jew to speak to a Samaritan woman. And he would go to her, and she's been married four times. Now she's living with someone who's actually not her husband. So he crosses the divide of culture because Jews weren't supposed to talk to Samaritans. Men weren't supposed to talk to women. He would cross the gender divide. He would cross the divide of his holiness, this perfect God who is all God because it was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary, but yet born. So as an Isaiah, the messianic prophecy was that unto us a child is born through Mary, but a son was given from heaven, that this perfect God would come and say to her, hey, you're living with someone who is not your husband, you are sinning, but yet I don't condemn you. I want to give you this river of living water. You're trying to get water from the well. She said, I don't have a bucket. I don't have a rope. The well's too deep. And that represents the fact that we can't do this salvation on our own. We need a savior. This is something we can't do. But Jesus comes and says, I'm going to save you. So not only do we get our name written in the book of life, John 10:10, but we get life written in our book. There's more to the story. So what I want to give you today is quickly just this. In this journey of life, and for us to get from Sydney all the way to Ipswich, we had to follow a GPS. And in that GPS, there's three essential ingredients that it needs. One, the GPS needs a destination. So we put in Ipswich, Logan Street, Boo Val. And we made it here. There was a few turns along the way. We actually hit traffic, and it took 4 hours longer than we expected. But we got here because we followed the GPS. What else does GPS need? The GPS needs a road map, and which I'm going to show you that road map in Matthew 4, 18 and 19, how God shows us the road map to get to the destination of what? The destination is Jesus, who's going to save us from every mistake, from every sin, but also God, who's going to be with us every step of the way. And that's what we were singing about, Emmanuel. And I want us to take a seat at this table. But who knows, a great GPS needs more than just those two pieces of information. The destination where you're going, the roadmap, but what else does a GPS need? Your location. It needs to locate where you are. I'm going to give you the first two, which is the destination, the roadmap, but I want you to be part of this message today, that you would pray and ask the Holy Spirit, where am I? On these chairs that I'm about to talk about, where you can stop from the sin and all the destructive stuff that separates us from God, we can revive and get life. As not only does God save us, but he starts to sanctify us. He starts to set us apart and allow us to become more like Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. He's going to move us from this sanctification seat to this seat where we can actually start to shape us. By the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, he'll start to shape us and form us into the unique image that he created us to be. Different from everybody else, but fearfully and wonderfully made. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:27 that we are the body of Christ and each one of us has a part to play. You know, there's two great days in someone's life. The day they were born, but the day they discover why. And I believe that God's going to start to show us our unique shape, our unique personality, and where we fit in the body of Christ. So He'll save us. He will start to set us apart, to sanctify us. He'll start to shape us and show us who we are. But then He will send us out into the world to make a difference. So I want you to think, where do I fit on this journey? So the destination is Jesus. Everyone say, the destination is Jesus, who's going to save me from my sin, and He will be God Emmanuel, which is God with me. Let's pray as we do that. I'll give you the destination, I'm going to show you the roadmap, but I want you to locate where you fit. Father, we just thank You for this Christmas, that this Christmas is the celebration of the greatest event in human history. And we pray that as we learn more about that, that You'll speak to us about where we are. So if we're stuck on our journey with You, that today we become unstuck. That if today that we are about to give up because we're like, we thought that it was just salvation and everything would be perfect after that, but we'd realize that there's more to the story, that we can get up again and start walking and experience God with us and experience Jesus who will save us from all our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this story of Jesus and the person of Jesus and what He does in our lives, I want us to look at my favorite scripture. Now, back in October, November 2014, I went on a 40-day fast because we were thinking about this church planting and I wanted to make sure it wasn't just a good idea, but it was a God idea. And not only that, I wanted to pray and find out from God, did I have what it takes to have the third baby, which we do have now? So there's a lot of big decisions that I had to make in my life. So as a result, I thought I'd fast. And so I went on this fast, and during this fast, it's such a beautiful experience where you let go of the physical stuff and you start to take hold of this spiritual food, which blows your mind. It's like God starts to speak to you in ways that you've never heard before. And you get this laser-like focus because, one, you've got no energy when you're not eating. So you've got no energy apart from those things which are the essentials, and you start to focus on that. And during that time, God spoke to me through this story in Matthew 4, 18 and 19, which is where Jesus calls the disciples on a journey. And it's the same journey that I believe He's calling us on. And on the journey with Jesus to destination Jesus, which is life more abundantly, which is the abundant life, the good life, the healthier life, the happier life, there's four stops or four chapters of the story. It's like there's four heartbeats. You know, the four chambers of the heart. This is the heartbeat of God for each and every one of us. And in Matthew 4:18, it says this. And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and He saw Simon called Peter, and they were fishing. And he was with his brother and Andrew. And it says this. One day, as He was walking along the shore of Galilee, He saw His two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, throwing their net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, and He said these words, "Come, follow Me, and I will show you how to fish for people." In the Berean translation, it's 11 words, and those 11 words made them leave everything. They left their income, they left their identity as fishermen, they left their influence that they had in that community, and they left their inheritance, their identity, their influence, and their income on just these 11 words. And it blows my mind that these 11 words are so pregnant with power, but they reveal the journey that God wants to take us on. The first thing that Jesus said to them was this. He said, "Come." And I believe this morning God is calling us and He wants us to take a seat. This is one of the essential rest stops on the destination of Jesus. Come. Do you know that word "come" is so pregnant with power that the disciples could actually step out off the boat into the water, into the impossible, just because God said, "Come." Do you know, if God has spoken a word to you, you can step out onto something which used to overcome you, but now you overcome it. That thing which used to overwhelm you, now you overwhelm it when you step out on the word of God. So I'm asking you, what has God said to you? If He said you're going to be healed, but you still feel sick, you can believe that word. If He says you're going to be blessed, but you're not feeling blessed, then you can step out and believe that word. You know, I love that God is calling us, and he's calling us to take a seat at this table. And you know, most of us, can I just ask, who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior and is actually taking a seat at this table? I want to call this seat the seat of salvation. So for those that are taking notes and for those who want to go to heaven, write this down. The first rest stop on the road to destination Jesus is the seat of salvation. And you can only get to this seat because God is calling you. And that's why Jesus called the disciples. He said, come. Come. You know, the Father's always calling. I think I've told this story before about the fact that I grew up of Jamaican parents. So if you're looking at me trying to work out where I got this awesome tan from, it's because I'm of Jamaican heritage. Although I was born close by here in Brisbane. Vegas. And so growing up we actually lived in Jamaica, but my parents now live in Wagga Wagga because Dad's a vet, and where the animals are in Wagga Wagga, that's where he is as well. And so living in Wagga Wagga, we were blessed to have this three-story house. And in a three-story house, I don't know what it is with Jamaican parents. It might be the same with different cultures or South African parents. I reckon they just have kids for slave labor. It's like they want things done so they have, the more children that they have, the less things they have to do for themselves. Because I don't know what it is, he would sit upstairs and he would stay upstairs on the third floor, knowing I'm downstairs yelling at me, Terrence, Jamaican father. And most of the time I just ignore him because it's like, oh, what does he want me to do, put out the garbage or wash the dishes or do some chore? And so this time I was downstairs and there was our music room downstairs. And in the music room, I had this keyboard and I'd put my headphones on and I'd be playing music and, you know, I'd just really get into it. And because music is my thing and my jam. And so I'm downstairs playing this music, got the headphones on, unaware to the fact that my dad's upstairs calling me, he's yelling at me, wanting to do something. So eventually he comes downstairs, I've got my back playing the music, and he just rudely knocks the headphones off my ears and said, "No, you hear me calling you, Mum?" I said, "No, I didn't hear you calling me, Mum, because I was doing..." I said, don't be rude, like. And he's like, "You talk back to your father." Remember, Jamaican parents now. "You talk back to your father. Listen to me. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. But wait, then me and your mother will make another one that looks just like you, and nobody would know." That's Jamaican parenting 101. I do not recommend it. You'll probably get a call from the authorities. But it was effective. It did work. You know, my father was calling me. He was upstairs yelling at me to come, call me to do something. To this day, I don't know what. But I didn't answer because I was busy doing something I thought was more important. And I wonder how many of us haven't answered the call to come and take a seat at this seat of salvation, because we're so busy doing things we think are more important than what God thinks. Maybe we're busy trying to do life and be a parent or be a mom or be a great business person or to chase the money or to chase the dream. They can be good things that we're doing. But the call of God is so much higher. You think you're chasing something which is going to be satisfying, but nothing is as satisfying as knowing that every mistake, every sin, every shame, that thing which you wish no one would find out, that God would forgive you so you could be clean and holy, so you can spend eternity with Him. That is the good news of Christmas. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about it, every other religion, if you take the central figure out of any other religion, whether it's Buddhism or whatever the other religions are, that religion would actually still stand up. If you take out the central figure, that religion would still hold water. Because a religion is just a set of rules and regulations to try and make you a better person. But if you take Jesus Christ out of being a Christian, or Christ out of Christianity, the whole religious premise falls apart. Why? Because it's more than a religion. Because Christianity is centered around the person of Jesus Christ, and it's anchored on Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and no other man, no other religion can do that. And it's not a religion to try and make you a better person. It's actually a relationship with Jesus which restores the relationship that God has with His people, man. It is the greatest story and the greatest answer that we have to the greatest problem, which is sin. And that's why Jesus came to save us from our sin and restore us to relationship with God. And see, like other relationships which try to move you from good to great or from better to best, Jesus comes and moves us from death to life. And that is the good news about Christmas and the person of Jesus Christ and the difference he makes. And you know, the Father is always calling. You can only take a seat at this table, and I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the roadmap to destination Jesus. Do you need to take a seat at this table of salvation again? Have you forgotten the fact that God has forgiven you? And how different would you live knowing that all your sin has been covered, every mistake has been covered? How differently would you live in 2018? I mean, what would you attempt knowing that God is with you, that God has forgiven you, that the mistakes are not going to be found out, or the mistakes are not going to hold you back from eternity with Him? Would you live with your chest a little bit higher? Live with a little bit more confidence. Attempt the impossible to do something great for God, knowing that you're free from the weight of sin. You know, I remember Jeremiah, we were up at the park one time, you know those little birds? I've told this story about the stork. What are those birds called? The ibis. They're big, scary, ugly-looking birds. And I remember he was running up to one time, he was younger, not realizing that he can't just run up and go, to a bird, without the bird actually trying to react to him. Don't want to wake the baby up. Sorry, Emma. Scared you. And he's going up to the bird doing this, and eventually the bird just turned around and just started to go, and poor Jeremiah just ran off screaming scared. And he ran to me, I cuddled him, consoled him. But then later, like good and your good father, I just threw him back into the thick of the war. And he went back up to the bird. But this time his countenance changed, because this time I wasn't over there sitting, you know, working out or doing something. I was right next to him. I was with him. And I'm standing with him, and he was like, come on, you want to fight now? You want to fight now? This is him talking to the bird, his adversary. Because you stand a little bit taller knowing that God is with you and He's going to save you. And that whatever's going to go wrong financially, remember, Jesus is with the disciples. They fished all night and caught nothing. But because Jesus was present and not absent, He's like, just cast it over this side. You're going to catch a barramundi and there's going to be money in the barramundi. It's like, if God can do that, you know, that's the Aussie story of the translation. But it's like, if God can make all things work together for good, and if God is with you, what would you do differently? How would you think differently about yourself? And what would you attempt knowing that God is with you? Take a seat at this seat of salvation, where you have your name written in the book of life, knowing you spend eternity with God. But there's more to the story. Because when Jesus calls the disciples, He says, come. This is a seat of what? Salvation. This is where God calls you. But the next seat, He says, come, follow me. Do you know who you follow, you become? Now, I'm not asking you who you follow as in Instagram or Twitter like that. I'm talking about, who are you following? Are you really following Jesus? Are you going where He says to go? And are you not going where He says not to go? Because to sit at this next seat, which is called the seat of sanctification, that means set apart. It's a big word that means set apart for holy use. Do you know that God, young man, has such a big plan for your life? I truly am convinced that God has set you apart for holy use, that you are going to be made in the image of Jesus. You're going to be a leader among your peers. And the word of God for you is, don't let anybody look down upon you because you are young. Because you're going to set an example in the way you, in your speech, in the way you act, and God's going to do something great through you. And as you stick close to Him, that God has set you apart for holy use, you've been set apart, and it's going to be a magnificent ride to stay close to Jesus. Okay? All right. This second seat here is the seat of being set apart to become like Jesus. You know, to actually follow Jesus, who knows that to follow Jesus, we have to disconnect from other things that are destructive, from lifestyles that are not conducive to following Jesus. You know, you're the sum total of the five people that are closest to you. Think about that. You are the sum total of the five people that are closest to you that you're following. Now, for some of you, that's a very comforting thought. For others of you, that's like, that's not a comforting thought. It's like, every time I get in trouble, I'm hanging out with these people. Or any time I feel like someone's cutting me down or saying I can't, I'm hanging around these people. Maybe we need to disconnect from those people sitting over there and come and take a seat at the seat of sanctification. Because not only does He save you, but He actually wants to set you apart. He wants to send you into the world. And He wants you to live a healthier, a better, and a happier story. But that means we have to take a seat where we follow Jesus. This is a seat of being set apart. You know, as I mentioned to Mr. Physio, as he pulled those chairs, I probably could have taken 8 of them because I work out. And because Emma was watching. I know you could have done 9, but let's, for the illustration, since I got the microphone, let's say I could do more than you. And as you know as well, I do go to the gym. I go to the gym with my 2 mates, and for those who haven't heard me speak, those 2 mates are Dez and Troy. This is Dez, this is Troy, and together they destroy. Come on. So I know a little bit about, because I go to the gym and I work out. That's why you can see all of this, Emma. This is all for you. Come on now. So I go to the gym, and here's the thing about, I know a thing about muscle and how it works, and correct me if I'm wrong. When it comes to building muscle is not just work as hard as you can. Building muscle is actually, muscle fiber is formed as the old connections of the muscle disconnect so they can reconnect to build stronger, healthier, bigger muscles. And it's actually in the resting phase that muscle is built. So when we work out, we break the muscle fibers down and they reconnect, and that's how you build these things right here. That's how you build muscle. You know, likewise, when it comes to our journey with Christ, we're in the gym of life and God is consecrating us. He's setting us apart and sanctifying our lives as He's saying, I want you to break off those old connections. I want you to break off and disconnect from the unforgiveness, from the bitterness that you have because of what somebody did to you in the past. That person who let you down, or the feeling that I let you down. Because I'm the God who will never forsake you, I'll never leave you. And though it takes a long time, you feel that God only comes to the last minute financially or relationally, I'll never let you down. But you've got to let go of that disappointment. Because as Joyce Meyer says, that unforgiveness, that disappointment, that bitterness is poison. And you hold it inside and thinking that, you know, I'm going to make that other person pay by never forgiving them. But unforgiveness, as we all know, is like drinking poison, expecting that person to die, expecting that boss because of what he did to me, because of what he didn't do, or because of she and what she did and what she didn't do. And you're holding that bitterness, and it's cancerous inside of our spirit and also our physical body. And this morning, to go to that destination of Jesus where He can save us from our sins, save us from our mistakes, but actually be with us. God can't exist in a place that's unholy. But unlike other religions where they say you've got to get holy before you get to God, God says, I'm sending down Jesus who's going to make you holy and make you clean. Because you know what hell is? Hell is just a place where we pay for our own sins. Hell is just a place where we choose to pay for our own sins. But the gift of God in sending Jesus Christ is that this perfect God takes all our sin. He bore our sicknesses. He bore our sins on the cross for us so that we don't have to. And so this morning, what is it that God is saying that in 2018, as you take this journey with Him, to sit at this seat of being sanctified, set apart, becoming like Jesus, what do we have to let go of? What do we have to disconnect from? The unforgiveness. Maybe we have to disconnect from our own thoughts, from doing things our own way, from thinking, I'm just going to hang on to this money. You know what the tie is when it comes to money? Maybe you're not financially blessed as you should be, because you haven't returned to God what is actually He's first given to you. Now, when I hear some people talk about the tithe, definitely not here, they talk about it like protection money. Like you've got to give that tithe to stop the fire and brimstone coming at you. No, no, no. When we give and when we're generous, we're most like God. When we give, for God so loved the world, He gave. And when we give, we are most like our Father, most like our Creator. And the tithe is just returning the 10% back to God to say thank you for the 100% that He first gave us. And it's amazing how that allows Him to be with us so He can bless us and give us ideas as He knows we're going to be generous to help the poor, to help the orphan, to help the widow, to help the alien, to help the sick. That's what God's all about, that He knows that the money can flow through us so He can entrust us with that money without the sorrow. There's a lot of people who have money, and trust me, they've got so much sorrow that comes with it. Living in Sydney, I see those people who have no lack when it comes to money. But you actually live a better life than most of them. I'm telling you that. Because once you've bought everything else, well, you bought all the toys, it's like, what else? There's got to be more to life than just that. Love, relationship, having a sense of purpose. And God gives us that as we take a seat at the seat. But we start to come, take a seat there, follow me, step two. And the third step is once we've... Now, you can't take a seat here until you've taken a seat where God's forgiven you. Because something that's unclean and unholy, which we are, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we can't take a seat here at sanctification until we take a seat of salvation. But then we can take a seat here because of Jesus. We can become like Him. We can disconnect from the world and its ways, so to speak, and actually live a higher, a better story and be a blessing to the world. But once we've taken a seat of salvation, what's this seat? Sanctification. Then we can actually start to discover our shape. This is where He says, come. You start to follow Jesus, not other people, not our own ways. He says, I will make you. I will make you. Jerry, can you pass that bottle of water there, please? You know, when it comes to being made by God, I love this illustration because, you know, what makes us is not what we look like on the outside. God says He looks at the heart. It's actually what's inside of us that makes us. So, for example, I've got this bottle of water. If I took the water and I tipped out the water and I filled it with milk, what would I have? A bottle of? Fantastic. If I took the milk and tipped it out and filled it with Coke, it would be a bottle of undrinkable. Naughty, bad Coke. If I took the Coke and poison, as some would say, and tipped the Coke out and filled it with wine, non-alcoholic wine, because we're in church, what would it be? A bottle of juice. Yes, bottle of juice. Exactly. What's the point? The point is, what makes it is what fills it. Could we be so filled with ourselves that there's no room for God? Could we be so filled with our own ideas that there's no room for the Holy Spirit to come and show us who we are, what He's placed inside of us, what gifts, what talents, what abilities He's placed inside of us? Do you know you are fearfully and wonderfully made? You are a designer's original, made in the image of God, but so unique, with your different fingerprints, with the way you all look, with the way we all think differently. And do you know that difference actually creates completion? Difference creates completion. It's like the different strokes of the artist create the beautiful masterpiece. Like Hosanna, who loves to do puzzles, it's the different pieces that make up the puzzle. If we have two of the same pieces, do you know one of them becomes redundant? And so many of us are trying to be like somebody else, living somebody else's life, without realizing that once God saves you, He actually wants to set you apart to become like Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, inside of you, it actually makes you unique and different and special like nobody else, because you have a part to play. That God has placed a part of Himself inside of you that He wants the world to see, the masterpiece that He's creating. You don't need to be like anyone else. God has created you individually, uniquely, special, unique, and so necessary. You know, when we come to church, you know, much of the church is unable to step into the fullness of their calling because they've never discovered what part they need to play. They understand the part that Jeff plays as the pastor who speaks, or maybe Wendy on the guitar because she's a musician, or the ushers who greet. But you know, each and every one of us have a part because we are the body of Christ. And each one of us has a part to play. And if you don't think you're special, or you don't think you have a part to play, or you're not a 10, can I say you're a 10? Everyone's a 10 at something. And if you're not a 10, you just haven't discovered the thing that you were created to do. You know, my wife Emma, she loves her kids, but if you put her in kids' church, she would probably melt and die. She loves her kids, not everyone else's kids, because that's not her sweet spot and her gifting. But she'd probably be a 5 in kids' church. When you put her up here to worship or to speak, she's a 10 because she's in her sweet spot. If you look around the church and you think and you see something, you think, oh, they could do it better if they did that, then maybe that's the clue to your gifting. If they just organize the chairs this way, maybe you've got the gift of organization. Or maybe if they sang this note, or maybe if the drums played on this beat, it would be better. Maybe you've got the gift of music. Or if they just put out, you know, Lamingtons and Tim Tams, which I hope are out there after the service, then it would just make for a better atmosphere. Maybe you've got the gift of hospitality. And if you find your sweet spot allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, I believe that this year that you'll step into your greatness and reach the destination of Jesus, who saves us from our sin, and Emmanuel, who is God with us, and we can really change the world knowing that He shows us our shape. We've got a unique shape and we've got a unique part to play. So the last step, and maybe God's showing you that you're here. Maybe you just need to start to rediscover the joy. You know, Paul prays in Ephesians, and he prays and says this, that you would know the hope of your calling. That without walking in your calling, there is no hope. And if you're feeling hopeless, and if you're feeling like life isn't worth living, there's no joy, could it be that you're not walking in your calling? I mean, that just really spoke to me. That you would know the hope of your calling. And as you discover that, as the Holy Spirit leads you and shows you the uniqueness inside of you, that you would step into, some of you about to change trajectory this year, that knowing that God is with you, what would you attempt knowing that God was going to be with you? I mean, for me, I might even take up surfing. Because you know it's not a black person sport, right? Swimming or anything. But, you know, I might take that up because if I was about to drown, I could just get out and walk on water because Jesus is with me. Come on, somebody. It doesn't have to be really serious. What would you attempt knowing that God was going to be with you and you could try something, something that you're passionate about, something that you've always wanted to do? Maybe you could take up, what is it? What would you attempt? Would you attempt that business? Would you attempt that relationship? Would you attempt the impossible knowing that there's God is with you? That He's actually shaped you for something unique and you would try to see what that is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So on the destination, take the seat this year of salvation, the seat of sanctification, the seat of allowing Him to shape you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So He says, come, follow me, I will make you, not man make you, not man made or self made, but God made, fishers of men. This is the last one, fishers of men. That the roadmap is this, that if God wants to make us fishers of men, there were actually fishermen already. But what do you do to fishermen? Instead of fishing on one level down here, you start to fish on another level up here for men. If He was calling the tax collector as He did in Matthew, I believe this is what He would have said. You know, Matthew, you've been working for the government, you've been reconciling the books, making sure no money's missing. Now I want you to reconcile the book of life to make sure nobody is missing from my book of life. You know, for me, I work in television where God was saying, you know, Terrence, you've been telling a vision, everyone else's vision, everyone else's story. Now I want you to tell my vision, tell my story, tell His story and make history. What is God calling you to do? You know, your story is important. Your story is so, so important. I remember I used to work, one of my first jobs was working as a dental assistant. And realizing the importance of not allowing a little bit of decay to come in your mouth. Because one little bit of decay can, I mean, who's ever had a root canal? Or who's ever been to the dentist? I mean, painful. You know, it's just one tiny little bit of decay. That's how it starts. And now God's moved me from taking that decay out, letting people know that there's a process to go through to stop the decay in your mouth, but also a process to stop the decay of sin in your life so you can become clean and holy and keep the whole the way Jesus created you to be. That's my story. I share that to think, what is your story? Because God saves you, He sanctifies you, He sets you apart and shapes you, and then He sends you on this great commission to change the world and help other people go on this great journey. But what is your story? Because your story matters. Because your story is what you're going to share with other people to let them know that God has something incredible for you. That He wants to deploy you to make a difference in this world. You know what He said about the disciples that He took through this journey of destination Jesus? Of what it meant to have Emmanuel, God with us? It said that these disciples, who many people knew as ordinary men, although they would have been quite affluent, being an agrarian age where the primary producers were farmers and fishermen, so they're going to make some money, but they were still ordinary, unschooled and untrained. But the Bible says that these men turn the world upside down. Why? Because they'd spent time with Jesus and God was with them. And you know, this morning, God is with you. And so I've told you the destination. I've told you the four stops along the way. My question to you is, which seat are you at? Which seat are you at and what will it take to move to the next seat? And that's a simple message that I'm asking God that He would speak to you this year, that you would get to the place where they say, who are these untrained, unschooled people from Vision Christian Family? They are turning Ipswich upside down. They are making a difference in this place. there being a blessing in the hospitality, there being a blessing in their industry, there have been a blessing in this nursing home, there have been a blessing in the community. I mean, they're light in the darkness, they're salt in a place which is so bland, they're rivers of living water in such a dry place, because these people have spent time with Jesus and taken a seat to stop, to revive, and not only survive, but to thrive. Come on, somebody. Stop, revive, not just survive, but start to thrive as you go on this journey with Jesus and answer the call to come, to follow me. Let him make you fishers of men. Let him make you do something extraordinary. Let him send you out into the world to be a blessing and to make a significant difference. Why don't we close our eyes? We're going to pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, that this is a journey that you're calling us on to destination Jesus, to destination awesome. But along that journey, we do need to take a rest, to stop, revive and survive, to make sure that we can make the distance of becoming all that you created us to be. You know, I talked about at the start, with every, you just look at me for one moment. You know, when I asked if you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart, I think every hand went up. But it would be remiss of me not to call and ask you, if you've never taken a seat at this seat of salvation where God forgives you of every sin, that you have that opportunity, because you can't take the next steps and go on the journey to any other seat until you've first taken this first one. And so if you are here, maybe you've asked Jesus Christ in your life, but for some reason you've chosen to get up out of this seat. Instead of sitting here and going to the next one, you've walked away back into the old life, then God's invited you to come back this morning. So with every eye closed again, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And if you'd like me to include you in that prayer of salvation, whereas the purpose for Jesus coming to save the world of their sin, that he would do that for you, save you from all the sin which all have fallen short, then with every eye closed, I'm going to pray this prayer. If you'd like me to include you in that prayer, I'm not going to get you to stand up or come out the front. Just pop your hand up high and just say, that's me. I want to take a seat at that seat of salvation. I want to come back to God. Awesome. Put that hand up high so I can see it. And once I see you, can put it back down. Fantastic. I see your hand, young lady. You can pop it down. Yes, sir. I see your hand. You can pop it down. Anyone else? This is between you and God. The Father is calling. And like we see in Luke where he said, there was a lost coin, there was a lost sheep, there was a lost son. And why was that so important to God? Because if one is missing, that means the set is incomplete. And his family is incomplete if just one person has not come back to take a seat at this table. So if that's you, you want to just make sure in your heart that you're seated at this seat of salvation, going to spend eternity with Jesus and not eternity without him. Would you just lift your hand up one more time if you haven't already? Just lift it up high. I want to include you in that prayer. Awesome. Yes, I've seen your hand, sir. Anyone else want to say, Jesus, I want you to come and live in my heart and I want to spend eternity with you? Then why don't we just pray this prayer together? Every voice. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, who lived a perfect life, to take my place and all the imperfections that I have. Thank you for saving me. I receive Jesus. I repent of my sin and I follow you. Make me into the person you created me to be, and help me to change the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I just thank you for those that made the decision today to follow you again. For those that have made the decision to come, to answer your call, to take a seat at the seat of salvation, I pray that you'd continue to bless them with the assurance of knowing that you are Emmanuel, and you are God with them. You'll never leave them. You'll never abandon them. You'll never run away. And even as we walk away, we can come and take a seat again. And for each person who's been making a decision, God, about where they're seated, whether they have been called by you, or whether they're being connected to Jesus again, or maybe they're being reconsecrated into a better story and a new hope and a new calling through the Holy Spirit, or whether that you're saying you're going to commission us to go out into the world and to do that thing without fear, without hesitation, without any inhibitions, to step out of the fullness of that call, that we would know where you are and where we are, so we can move on that GPS, which is God's positional system, God's perfect system, to move us from where we are to where you created us to be. I pray you bless each person this Christmas in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 when you high-five the person next to you and say, take a seat at the table. Take a seat at the table. Well, do I just wrap this up? Pastor Jeff, hand back to you. How do I wrap the present? Pastor Jeff's going to come and close right now. And for those that made the decision, what a fantastic decision and assurance in your heart. God bless you. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you tomorrow.